And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by New Era. DJ and Bucky here. And Buck, our prototype series, our position prototype series continues, looking at tight ends today.
Look, this is a big-time position because the tight end position has been the new matchup position or mismatch position in the league. Offensive coordinators are finding that if you have a dominant tight end, you can control the middle of the field, you can dictate coverage, you can dominate in the run game, and you really can set up the rest of your weapons to have easier downs because the tight end is the central force. I'm excited that we're going to bring on some guys to talk about the tight ends, guys like Tom Telesco, general manager for the LA Chargers. He has a tight end there, Hunter Henry, who is going to be a Pro Bowl player down the line. And then 11-year vet and former first-round pick Anthony Beck also joins us to talk about this marquee position.
Ertz back. He is floating it, and it's complete to Ertz. Ertz at the 10. Ertz at the 5. Ertz to the end zone. Another touchdown for Zach Ertz.
Here's the snap. Winston looking. Dumps it off. Caught ball. Inside the one. Toss. Now Tampa Bay. O.J. Howard makes a great grab with a defender hanging on him.
Manning on a play fake. Rolls right. Throws for Ingram. He's got it at the 5. He reaches for the pylon. Touchdown, Giants. What a job by Ingram.
Nowhere to go. Now to the middle of the field. Touchdown. Rivers to Hunter Henry. And he's high-stepping and celebrating.
Going to throw it to Kittle on the far side. Kittle's got it. Breaks away down the far side to the 30. Kittle to the 20. Stone cold Kittle. NFL record-setting touchdown catch.
This is the prototype series. This is the first time you're listening to this series. Keep in mind, we've already got episodes out on the quarterback position, running back, wide receiver, and offensive line. After this episode, we'll get to the defensive side of the ball. But what we've tried to do with this series, Buck, a lot of people are curious about evaluating the position. What do scouts look for? What's the future hold for this position? We get a chance to cover all those topics with some wonderful guests like you just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, really excited to talk to the guys that we have on because they bring a level of insight. And we've talked about this position and the way that it's gone. It's really a hybrid position because what you're looking for is a guy that is basically an offensive lineman with the athleticism of a wide receiver that can make plays in the passing game. And it's a unique challenge. It's a unique position to scout because it's rare that you can find someone who can do all of those things, dominate and seal the edge in the run game while also being a major factor in the passing game.
All right, let's get into a little bit of what we're looking for at the position before we get to our first guest in charge of general manager Tom Telesco. Buck, I think when you're looking at that position, being a passing league first, obviously, you know, you ideally want somebody that's a two-way guy that can dominate in the run game but can help you out in the passing game. But let's focus on the passing game first. I would say the most important thing is probably just short area quickness at the top of your route. Can you separate there? And then, obviously, you're going to work in a lot of traffic at that position. So, to me, I think contact strength is another thing I really look at.
You talked about those things. I believe athleticism and versatility really comes into play. We've seen so many former basketball players in college kind of make their way to the tight end position because there are a lot of similarities. Being able to post up, play with bodies on you and around it. You talk about contact balance. Can you put guys on the hip so the quarterback can throw it away from that guy? Do you have a great feel and spatial awareness in the red zone? Being able to kind of play the alley-oop game if you have to. And then the overall toughness, because it's tough dealing in traffic, dealing with linebackers and safeties, those enforcers over the middle of the field. Are you tough enough to kind of go in there and make those tough catches when you need it, particularly on those big downs, money downs, third down, red zone, when you really need a big play?
I think another area that's maybe more important now and going to be more important in the future is run after catch at the tight end position. It used to be a lot of times you're working in traffic, you're working in seams, it's catch, absorb contact, and go down. Now you're seeing these guys, look, we can get you the ball right now, get it in your hands. Now you've got one-on-one opportunities. Can you get away from somebody? Can you make a miss? Can you run away from them? Can you run over them? I think that run after the catch may be more important now than it was 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, right, absolutely. And I think that has increased in importance because we've seen these guys that have come over and been able to give that to an offense, and it changes the way that you have to play. When you're able to have a dominant tight end that not only can run all the routes in the route tree and do the things over the middle field, but he can take those catch and run plays and turn them into big first downs or explosive plays, it adds a dimension to the offense that is really tough for the defense to account for.
All right, run game. We got a chance this last year to see somebody, you know, T.J. Hockenson, who could dominate in the run game. But most of the time, we're seeing these college tight ends, they're flexed out. Very few of these guys living with their hand in the ground and really not asked to do a lot in the run game. So For guys that are evaluating that position, you don't get to see them do it much. What do you look at?
In the run game, one, I got to see, are they a willing blocker? Meaning,
explain that, because I think people don't understand.
A willing blocker, because sometimes when you get a tight end is really a jumbo wide receiver. So when you ask him to put his hand in dirt, he really doesn't want to live that life. So I want a tight end that welcomes the opportunity to be a fixture in the run game. He can take on defensive ends. I'm not saying that he has to be a guy that can move them off the ball, but he has to be able to hold his own. Can he control the edge? Can he create a push where if we want to run behind him, it's going to be an asset, not someone that is going to give us problems? And then, can he finish? Can he sustain his blocks? Can he run his feet? Can he latch on to his guy and finish him at the end of downs? Because when you get a dominant tight end, like a Rob Gronkowski in the run game, sometimes they can have more value in the run game than they do in the passing game, and it allows your offense to really be a balanced and dominant offense.
I think you hit on it perfectly. To me, I look at, are you willing? You know, are you going to put your face in there a little bit? It might not end great for you in the college game. Guys need to get physically stronger, need to get better technique. I think those things can improve at the NFL level. But just show some level of willingness to get involved there. And then the scouting term I always come back to is just shield and wall off. Like, if you can knock somebody off the ball, like those guys, you know, the Hawkinsons come around once every 5-6 years. I just want somebody, can you just shield and wall them off? Just get in the way and stay attached.
We call it position blocking. Yeah. Just being in a good position where, look, if the ball is running inside, I can turn. I can make sure that I keep the defender outside so there's a lane for the running back to run inside of me. If he needs to get outside, can I reach block my man and just kind of pin him inside a little bit so we can get around the corner? Once again, I'm not expecting him to be an offensive tackle or a guard. But if he's good enough, it is like having another lineman on the field. It allows us to really use all of our running plays, which is important.
All right, that's what we think about the position, what we look for, those key attributes. Let's get to our conversations, because I think you're going to enjoy these. Our first conversation, one of the better general managers in the National Football League. You look at the track record of Tom Telesco with the Chargers and what he's done being able to draft successfully, including someone we're going to talk to a little bit later on in the show. You mentioned Hunter Henry. Here's our conversation about the tight end position with Chargers GM Tom Telesco.
When you're looking at that position, all the great ones that you've been around, and you can run through some of those names because you've been around some all-time greats, but just trying to find some things in common with the great tight ends you've had a chance to be around and study.
Well, you know, with every position, a lot of it's just the makeup and the character and the work ethic, the drive, the desire. You got to have all of that. But as far as the actual on the field, the tight end position, it's getting more and more difficult to project those players from the college level because there are very few that do everything that we want them to do at this level. The college game is so spread out, and so many tight ends in college are split out as receivers. And we have to teach them a little bit how to go from a three-point stance on the line of scrimmage and teach them on a block. You know, we're looking for well-rounded players at that position. You have to be able to hold your own at the line of scrimmage as a blocker, and you have to be a pass catcher, you know, who can stretch the field, hopefully. But the biggest thing is be able to separate from tight coverage and get open and catch the ball and have hands. So it's a lot that's asked for in that position. It's almost like a Superman position. You have to be able to run and catch like a receiver, and you have to be able to block like an offensive lineman. So those guys are very, very hard to find. And like I said, we like them well-rounded. It's hard to always find that. You know, we have a tight end here, Hunter Henry, that is a well-rounded tight end, can do a little bit of both and do it well. But you have to supplement that sometimes with maybe a tight end that is better on the receiving part of it, and then add another tight end that's better on the blocking part of it and try and put it all together. But it's a difficult position to scout for us. But if you can find one, like we have one of Hunter Henry that we like, you're very lucky.
Yeah, no doubt, one of the more complete tight ends the National Football League poised for a huge year. I want to go to Antonio Gates. You got a chance to be around for a very long time, and you mentioned it being able to separate from tight coverage. I think one of the more overrated things you're looking at tight end position over the last few years, and you go through the data, is the 40 time. You can almost kind of throw that out. It's a lot more about the short area quickness and can you separate when you get to the top of the route. And a lot of people historically have pointed to a basketball background, not just with Antonio Gates, with Tony Gonzalez, with a bunch of these guys. How do you see that sport, you know, being a big basketball fan, translating at that position?
Oh, I think it translates a lot. I mean, you mentioned those guys. Jimmy Graham is another one. Running routes from the tight end position involves it's a lot of contact with linebackers, with safeties, and it's have to have a good feel for leverage, using your body to kind of box out and to be able to catch in traffic, just like you're going up for a rebound in traffic against other people. So. And you're right, Antonio has all those, the short area quickness in the field to get open. It's hard to have both, and that's why Antonio will be in the Hall of Fame, and Tony Gonzalez, among others, to kind of add the instincts, the feel to get open, but also having that short area quickness to really separate from linebackers, from safeties. Maybe not having that top-end speed. I mean, I don't even know if we had a 40 time on Antonio Gates coming out of college. Now, he's faster than he looks sometimes, but what he really has what separates him is his separation quickness. Even last year, you could see it in the playoff game against the Patriots, to see his quick separation from people down the field. And that's what you have to have. And then, like you said, you add in the feel, the instincts, and the hands, and the toughness and concentration to catch in traffic, because as a tight end, boy, a lot of your balls are caught in between the hashes, and which is going to involve a lot of concentration, a lot of toughness to finish those balls. And yeah, so that's I think that basketball background does help. And, you know, there's a good amount of tight ends that are like that in the league, and probably more and more moving forward.
I'd be curious just to know when you're building your draft board at that position. You know, I would say very early on when I started scouting. You've been doing it longer than when I started. But in 2003, 2004, we started putting that separate column up there for nickel corners. And so you had your corners, then we separated the nickel guys with the inside guys. And then it kind of got to the point where you're doing that with slot receivers. You had your X and you had your slot receivers at the tight end position. You mentioned you want somebody that's well rounded that can do everything, but the college game is not giving you many of those well-rounded guys. Do you separate them on the board between, hey, this is a flexed out guy, or this is a move guy, versus this is a pure inline wide tight end?
Yeah, we do it, and that's that goes all the way back. Bill Polian and Dom Anele, when I was coming up in scouting, they had always done that. We have two different columns for tight ends. We have split into basically a receiving type tight end and a blocking type tight end. And if you're lucky enough to have both, we just put you in the athletic tight end category. But yeah, we split out the tight end groups just to, Kevin, just so you know, when you look at the board, what the style of that player is right off the bat, depending on what column he's in. We do the same thing at receiver. We have three different columns for receivers, two different columns for corners and for some other positions, just so you know, hey, this is the style of their play. Now, that doesn't mean if you have a tight end as a blocking type tight end that he can't, you know, run and catch a little bit. But it's telling you, hey, this is the style of player. And like I said, this game is very specific as far as what the roles those players will play. And yeah, we've always done that for the tight end on our draft board. And that goes back, you know, 20 plus years.
Yeah, I love that. Again, you want to be able to look at that board and get a visual of what a player is. It's a card, it's a piece of paper, and now with all these digital boards, I guess it's projected. But to be able to see what he is and what he does, I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, we're still on magnets here.
Are you?
Yeah, we're still on magnets here. Yeah.
Did you ever have to print them out when you started out? That was one of my first gigs.
Heck yeah.
Oh, what a miserable chore that was.
Well, I mean, it was printing them out, and then, you know, our draft cards have a lot of information on them, and a lot of it is, it used to be with a Sharpie, putting different designations on there, different colors. We used to write different things on there. So when you looked up at the board, that board could literally talk to you. We have everything in the computer, we always have, but to be able to sit there draft day, or even sitting in a meeting, to look up at the board, see a card, and get a feel for that player just by looking at that card. I'm a big visual person, I love that. Nowadays, we can have those labels print out with everything on there already, so all you gotta do is pull it off and stick it on the magnet. But yeah, going back a ways, a lot of it was manually written on the cards, and I think it's a good way to do it. I think if it was a digital draft board, I think it would look really clean. It would look great. But I think you lose some of that that feel of actually doing that manual work, and you remember it in your head rather than just, you know, turning a button on and you have all the cards up on the board. But, you know, I guess I may look young, but I'm still a little bit old school when it comes to how those draft cards go up on the board.
I like that. Look, I like it as long as you're not the one that has to constantly print them out and give yourself a million paper cuts trying to thread those things through the magnets there. It's dangerous. Hey, it's a dangerous occupation there, man.
That's how you move your way up the ladder. That's how I started. You have to start at the bottom, move your way up.
Last one, because this just brought me to a different story. We had an incident one time when I was in Baltimore. We did the red star black dot. So every scout got to put the red star on one player. You just wanted on the team. You put the black dot on one player, right? No matter what, you didn't want him. So there was a linebacker, I won't say who it was, but he's supposed to go in like the top 2-3 rounds, and he had a black dot from our area scout. And the owner's in the room and all that, and you kind of see that black dot, like that's a do not touch. Well, Tom, we start getting into the fourth round, and we get into the fifth round. By the time we got to the sixth round, one of the powers that be kind of whispered over and said, we need to get a new card for that linebacker. Go ahead and remove that black dot. It's the sixth round right now. He's been punished enough.
You know what? We do some similar things, but if we have a black dot guy on the board, I'd rather just move that guy off the board. I want our staff and everybody invested in that pick. If there's a player that we just think he does not fit for whatever reason it is, we'll just move him off the board. We got plenty of players to pick from. I mean, our final draft board is probably less than 150 players in the end. So I've got no problems if we don't feel a guy fits. If he's a black dot guy, I'll move him off before draft day so we don't have that same problem where you're looking at a car sitting up there that, like, you don't really want him, but you feel like, well, you know, everybody else has him higher. Maybe we should take him. Well, you know, for us, that probably isn't going to happen.
Well, moral of the story is that player did not work out. So you stick by your guns. You put a black dot on a player
and
you do not touch.
There
that
you
means
go.
You do not touch.
Yep.
Lesson learned.
That's right.
Hey, man, I appreciate so much you giving me your time, and I look forward to visiting with you out there at Chargers camp.
All right, Buck, well, you get a chance to talk to Tom. He's got a great feel for really every position on the field. But I love what he said about the tight end position, and specifically talking about that multi-sport aspect of the position, and specifically basketball and how that translates.
Oh, I mean, I think it translates very, very well. He has seen it firsthand with Antonio Gates being a guy that has been a dominant player after entering the league as an undrafted free agent, coming from Kent State, being a basketball player, learning how to play that post-up game. When you have the success that we've seen these basketball players have, whether it's Antonio Gates, playing with Tony Gonzalez, who I played with in Kansas City, him being a dominant player, Jimmy Graham being a guy that has become a dominant player, there's a reason to look at those power forward types in basketball and see if they have some value. And more importantly, for all tight ends, do they have the ability to put their butt on you and box you out and create space and really expand the strike zone for the quarterback? Because when you find one of those tight ends that can do it over the middle of the field, he's invaluable to the offense because he does allow you to have a guy that you know you can lean on to move the chains.
No doubt. Well, let's get to our next conversation, somebody Tom Telesco knows very well. That is Hunter Henry, his young tight end. And keep in mind, after that, we're going to have a chance to talk with Anthony Becht. You're going to want to stick around for that one as well. He had some interesting things to say. But here's Chargers tight end Hunter Henry.
Passing play, looking left, rolling left, goes up top, end zone, Hunter Henry. Hey now, touchdown Chargers.
Well, Hunter, I just got a chance to speak with your boss there and Tom Telesco talking about this tight end position. And obviously your name came up in the conversation. I want to go back to your story, though, beginning in high school, because when you're looking at the evolution of a tight end and how you grow and groom a tight end, you didn't even play the position in high school, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I was actually a receiver. So that kind of morphed into, I was a tight end receiver a little bit. So I just kind of, I learned a lot about, I think, the pass concepts and different things like that in high school. But we were a spread, run and gun kind of team. So really didn't put my hand in the dirt until I was in college. So had a lot to learn pretty quick, but felt like I picked it up good.
Yeah, what was that transition like? A lot of guys make that transition from college to the NFL. You got a chance to put your hand on the ground there at Arkansas. But what was that adjustment period like, and what's it like for guys making that adjustment going to the league?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. It's different. I think the whole mental side of things too. It's just at the tight end position. I think it's they put a lot on us, especially in the NFL. We're asked to do a lot of different things. So you have to be, you definitely have to be pretty smart. You definitely have to work hard at the mental side of the game to be able to go out there and execute. But I think the second part of it is just footwork and the little things. It, like, blocking is very little. It's very detail oriented. So that's the biggest thing, I think, is just picking up the details, just footwork, hand placement, different things like that helps you a lot. Just the blocking and the run game side of things when you get to the tight end position. But, a lot of those guys are running routes and doing different things. So once they get to the league, it's pretty easy on that side of things, I feel like.
I'm fascinated by the fact of what you guys are asked to do with the position, because one play you can be in line, next play you're flexed out. We're seeing now a lot of guys kind of replacing that fullback position with how they can use you. In terms of practice and in your development, how do you spread all those things out and become good at each and every one of them?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, that's one thing I think I try to focus on is just try to be able to do everything, because that allows you to be on the field every single down, every single play. And also, you know, it's hard for defenses. They don't know what's going to happen. So that's the biggest thing for me. I think it's just, especially when you go into training camp, I think it's trying to focus on each one of those things maybe every single day. Just pick a thing every single day. Maybe like, all right, today I really want to work on my run blocking. I really want to work on my hand placement and my footwork today. The next day it's like, all right, I want to work on my routes, especially. Like I still want to continue on working with my run blocking, but my emphasis today is I want to be really detailed on my routes, my depth, getting in and out of my breaks, my releases, different things like that. So I think it's each day breaking down something different that you can do to make yourself better.
When we're looking at the position and evaluating the position, you know, some of the things we're looking for, a guy's quickness, his ability to separate at the top of his routes. And it's also, I think, more of a field position in the passing game, maybe than any other position that's involved in the passing game. In terms of developing that comfort and that the instincts and the feel, working in zones, is that something that you kind of have or you don't have, or is it something you can build on and improve?
I think you definitely, I think some people just kind of have it. And then I think it's definitely, you can definitely work on it and build on it. I think it's the more you play. So I think it's the more you're out there and the more you're, I guess, doing it. For me, at least, that's how it was. And just the more I see it, the more I do it, I'm better for it, definitely.
You get a chance to play with Antonio Gates, who's going to go into the Hall of Fame, and you're kind of have come up in this era where we've seen so many great tight ends. I know you get a chance to study Antonio on the practice field during your time with the Chargers, but outside of him, looking around the league, is there any other guys that you pay attention to on crossover tape or in the offseason that you're studying and learning from?
Oh, man, I try to watch as many guys as I can. You know, I grew up watching Tony Gonzalez, Witten, different guys like that. But I think nowadays, I mean, I just like to pick up different things from all different kind of guys. Kelsey, Ertz, I love what Ertz is doing. Delanie Walker is a guy I love to watch. I mean, he's different. We're definitely different body types for sure. But still, you can always put, I think, little things in your game. You're not going to obviously mirror what they're doing, but you can just kind of watch what they're doing and try to learn and try to put that into your game. So, those are a few guys that I think I've watched and enjoyed kind of studying their tape.
How about the point of attack? You know, working in the run game is something that, man, there's tremendous value. We saw TJ Hockenson go very high coming out of Iowa this year because his ability as a two-way player there in the pass game as well as in the run game. As a point of attack player, just walk us through as an evaluator, what should we be looking for when you're evaluating that side of the game? A lot of times you say, look, you just give me a stalemate, just try and mirror and just wall a guy off. But what do you pay attention to when you're studying other guys, and what can we focus on?
Yeah, I think obviously at the tight end position, you know, we're going to get some bigger dudes sometimes. And so you're not always going to get, you know, a lot of movement. You're not going to just blow dudes off the ball. But I definitely watch technique. I think you can definitely watch like your footwork and just kind of knowing what they're doing with the hand placement, different things like that. So for me, footwork and hand placement is huge. I think those two things will take you farther than anything. Obviously, too, leverage is a big part. So if you're lower than the guy, especially when we're blocking a bigger guy, you definitely need to be lower than him. So, you know, you can definitely tell. I think the 49ers are a team that we actually watched this offseason that with Kittle and the other guy, I'm trying to think of his name. I think it was Selleck, I think.
Yeah. It's
Selleck. But them together. We just watched a lot of their zones and just how they were like opening up and different things like that, and just watched their footwork and hands and just how they were working to the second level. So you definitely can watch not just passing schemes, but you can watch some guys run blocking and pick up a lot of stuff and put that into your game.
You talk about the run game and watching the 49ers front side, back side. It seems to me one of the challenges at that position is you got to have enough strength to be able to set the edge on the front side. But then what you guys are asked to do on the back side, that's where angles, athleticism all comes into play.
Oh, yeah. It's that's one of the hardest blocks in the game for sure. It's tough. So you're just, you know, blocking is kind of a want-to, and that's kind of how I've always looked at it, is like, do you really want to do it? You know, some guys don't want to do it, so sticking your head in there and really wanting to do it, that's kind of one of the biggest things of blocking, and just giving all out effort. I mean, if you're giving all you can, you have, but you got to work on the technique. But if you have that technique and you're giving all out effort, usually you're going to be pretty successful on a lot of those blocks. So, that's, you know, the backside is tough. It's not sometimes the most fun block, but, every once in a while when that thing cuts back right off your butt, it's an awesome feeling.
Curious what you guys do because of all the contact you're going to receive down the field in the passing game. What are some of the drills you do try and replicate that? Because obviously strength at the contact point is huge at the tight end position. And how have you grown and developed in that area?
Yeah, there's a lot of bodies in there, especially when your hands on the ground, you're in 3-point and you're having to do a lot of releases and get across the field and different things like that. So, we have a lot of those tall dummies. I think we work on just second level releases in our drills, and it really does pay off. I think just the small things. We also have our coaches kind of mirror us in individual drills where we're working on second level releases. Obviously, you have the first level where you kind of have to beat the guy, but the second level is sometimes the biggest one where you can create separation and win. So that part, I think, in individual drills and just with our coaches helps a lot.
How about last thing here on the off season? Obviously, a lot of time during this period of time, develop some chemistry and camaraderie there with your quarterback and Philip Rivers. I know Philip's not on like Instagramming out videos, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say you guys have gotten together a little bit in the off season. What do those workouts look like, and what do you guys work on?
Yeah, we have actually. I was actually down in Florida. He has a place down there and goes down there a bunch. So I actually met up with him. I got to work out with a couple times. So it's kind of a place I grew up going to. And but it's, I mean, any time with Phil is super valuable. So, you know, just building that relationship, building that chemistry, especially after missing last year, I think it's huge. Just continuing to build from where we left off. I think like we kind of know each other just even in that short amount of time that we, you know, been together. Obviously it's not Gates and Rivers and like that, but it's pretty easy to pick up from like what he wants and different things like that he wants from us. So it's always fun to be with him, pick his brain and just be around him.
Well, I can't thank you enough for your time. I know you're busy getting ready for the season. I'll see you out there at Chargers camp here in a couple weeks, Hunter. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Have a good one. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Buck, listening to Hunter there, one of the things jumped out to me is the intelligence aspect of the position. I don't think people realize how much you have to know and to be able to execute at that tight end position.
Because it's a hybrid position. You're literally adjoining two position groups into one. You're taking the offensive line, and you're taking a guy and asking him to be a wide receiver. So he has to know everything that you need to know in the running game. He has to be able to block like an offensive lineman. He has to know the adjustments and checks based on the front. But he also needs to be very aware of what's going on in the passing game. Routes, timing, where I need to be on the field, the awareness that comes with how do I sit down into progression, all of those things. And so from an IQ standpoint, you have to have guys who have great football intelligence and a great understanding of how to kind of put all the pieces of the puzzle together.
I think that position, too, has, I would say, some more creativity baked into it. You're going to see a lot more option routes. A lot more routes where you need your tight end to be on the same page as your quarterback. I almost think if you're setting up training camp and where these guys sometimes have to room with one another, you don't just get your own room. I think I would always ask my quarterback, my tight ends to room with one another.
Oh, well, I mean, one, the easiest throw for the quarterback is in the middle of the field because it's the shortest distance. So having a big tight end that you can trust, you need to be on the same page with him. Also, because they need to be in lockstep when it comes to those option routes. We have heard, anyone who hasn't heard the Jason Witten interview when he's explaining
awesome.
Why option,
yeah.
Or the level of detail, not only that he had, but Jason Garrett describing how Jason Witten could go through and do the presentation on why option tells you and shows you the intelligence that you have to have to play the position. It's a key position. It's one that's increasing in prominence as the league continues to trend towards a passing league.
All right, that was fun to catch up there with Hunter Henry. By the way, prediction, he stays healthy for all 16.
He'll be a
Pro Bowler.
Absolutely.
He is very talented, somebody to help out in the run game as well. All right, our next guest, Anthony Becht. This is a fun conversation. Get a chance to really dive into the specifics of the position. And I always feel like we need to educate the folks. If they don't already know, we assume people know, you know, some of the terminology. And talking with Anthony Becht, you know, he's talking about a 9 route. And I think people that don't know about the route tree. Why don't you just explain what the route tree is real quick before we get to this interview?
Yeah, so the route tree is something that, man, has been around for years. And typically, when you think about the route tree, the easiest way to explain it, odd numbers typically break outside, even numbers, break inside. And as you're climbing up the ladder from 1 to 9, it goes from short routes to deeper routes. The 9 route is the deepest route that you can get because it's a vertical route. It is the go ball. It is a, I'm taking off. Some people would call it the fly pattern. But there's some nuance to being able to be a great route runner on those 9 routes, being able to climb and eat up cushions, step on a defender's toes, set them up so you can get by them, and then stack them where we talk about a wide receiver being like a car where you have headlights and taillights. And when you get past them, put the defender in your taillights.
I love that.
The detail that you need to understand when it comes to running routes is really essential. And for tight ends, it is tough because you're asking a guy who is a pseudo-offensive lineman to go and do things that you expect the guys on the perimeter to be able to do. It's hard to find guys that can do all of those things.
All right, here's a fun conversation with Anthony Beck, someone who played a long time in the National Football League and one of the better blocking tight ends we've seen in the last several years.
Curtis Martin deeply set, Pennington short drop, looks left, lobs it, and caught, wide open, touchdown Jets, Beck the tight end, found himself a mile open.
We're talking about the tight end position. Who better to talk to than somebody that was a first-round pick, spent 11 years in the National Football League at the position. So, Anthony, I'm going to give you a softball here. You can brag on your position. How smart do you have to be to play tight end?
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, I think this day and age at the tight end position, especially when I was playing, you know, under the offensive tutelage of guys like John Gruden, and then you know, doing a little bit of the digit system in St. Louis, to me, you know, you got to be multifaceted. Number one, you got to understand multiple positions. So you got to be able to play the game like an offensive lineman. You have to be able to run routes similar to wide receivers. And then as far as, you know, when you're talking about West Coast systems, the multitude of different types of shifts and movements and where you're at, you're usually the piece that, you know, you kind of see moving all around. I mean, you look at a guy like Kelsey, who, you know, in Kansas City and Andy Reid system, you know, he's almost a joker. I mean, he's everywhere. And that's beneficial if you can do all those things plus be an inline backer, inline blocker. So, you know, to me, I just feel like what you're being asked to do at that position in offenses that understand that it can be a definite advantage for you is sky's the limit. If you're a smart tight end, you can definitely handle more stuff. You can be more productive, I think, in the offense that you're playing in.
I really think it's underrated. I think it's one of the reasons why some of these guys can't get on the field at the NFL level, because you see a fantastic athlete, but there's so much that goes into knowing not only the passing game, the run game at that tight end position. There's a lot on your plate. Another I want to talk to you about instincts, just the importance of instincts, understanding space, understanding how to maneuver in and around space and make yourself big. Can you just touch on the importance of instincts at that position?
Yeah, so, you know, you look at the way different tight ends play the game now, and I'll just kind of go with like a Gronk and a Witten. You know, those are two guys that, to me, when you look at Jason Witten play, he's not fast, you know, but he understands the techniques and the spacing and the leverage of the defender that he's playing against, and he utilizes that in his routes all the time. Now, if he were just to run out there and you clocked it and you say, okay, well, it probably wouldn't be, you know, some of your great route running as far as the speed is concerned, but as far as getting open, he's been phenomenal. Gronk, another guy, as you've seen him over his years and he's been banged up, he's been able to position his body, use his strength to really just kind of suck the ball in at any point on the field. And Tom Brady just puts it in an area where he can go get it, and he does. And, you know, those are far in between. You don't find those kind of guys all the time. You know, instincts to me, it comes down to what can you get pre-snap. It's very similar to the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. The most successful quarterbacks, obviously, from the time they leave the huddle and their guys line up and they understand shifts and where their guys are going and what the defense may or may not be doing, it's the same thing for that half of the football field for the tight end, because you have to release over, you know, depending on a 9 technique defensive end or a head up technique or a 7 inside, and how you're going to get in your route, and how do you maneuver getting through the linebackers, and, you know, what did you see on tape that they normally do when you release? What kind of run fake you're getting? Is that going to help you? You know, all those pieces, if you're a good tight end, you put that all together, and then now you get into the second level. Where's the safety? So, you know, for me, it was like, oh, you know, when you're a tight end, now you got to worry about everybody. It really isn't. It's really taking that half of the field and understanding what's there at each level and how you can combat that. And having that instinct and getting that feel, and a lot of that's film study. You know, there's so many different levels of the position, in all positions, to be great. But if you can study the film great and know your opponent, that's going to be half the battle as well when you're running those routes and doing those things on the field, whether you'd be blocking or running pass routes.
We talk about the running back position. We use that phrase contact balance a lot. You know, can you maintain your balance through contact? And you look at the tight end position. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of mud. You're catching the ball in a lot of traffic. So contact strength, being able to catch the ball in crowds and absorb contact, is that something you see that guys either have? Can it be taught? And how important do you view that in the evaluation of the position?
Well, when you're talking about contact, it's, you know, okay, lowering your shoulder, running into a guy, that's not exactly what it means. It means, you know, how quickly can you press off, you know, get that impact off and then release yourself from that defender. Because let's be honest, all linebackers and safeties are going to hold you, right, Dan? And we know that. That's how they do it. That's the only way they can guard a good tight end is if they grab you. And you got to counter that with a few punches yourself, you know. And we always say don't extend the arm, but you get that, you flip the elbow in. You know, you kind of get them leaning a little bit. You know, you utilize the press in the top of your route to get them going one way so that, yeah, there's contact there, but you're getting them off leaning a certain way now that you get that nice press and separation. So, you know, the art of the game is really, you're right, makes the difference in where the players are on the field in their career. Are they a good player? Are they a great player? Are they an elite player? And those tiny details, those little things, the things that Witten does or Gonzalez did, those are the things that really separate guys. And then, you know, once in a while, you're going to find the complete tight end like a Gronkowski. And there's some other tight ends. You know, I look at a guy like Nick Boyle. You know, I trained Nick Boyle when he came out of college. And I instantly saw a guy that was going to be probably the best blocking tight end in the NFL. Let's be honest. If he's not that, then he's pretty close to it. But yet, you know, he's able to run some intermediate routes, be effective, and do some things in the passing game as well. And I think the NFL, to me, still wants that tight end. I think from the fans and you look at the fantasy football, everybody loves those numbers and everybody wants to see those acrobatic basketball catches. But I think from an offensive coordinator standpoint and what they're trying to accomplish, anytime I can keep the offensive tackle off my double tight end set and I can use, for instance, like the Buccaneers with Cameron Brait and O.J. Howard, that is really, really tough to defend. You're talking about limiting defenses on what they can do, and now you're talking about two guys that can block and do some things, really good things in the passing game. So, what level of tight end do you want to be? How do you want to work your craft? You know, I got a good experience with the AAF coaching tight ends under Mike Martz's system in San Diego, and it just – I loved it. I loved, you know, allowing a guy to understand the position a little better maybe than he learned in college, because the college tight end that's coming out right now – and I don't want to say he's being cheated by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not being able to learn the intricacies of the position, and he's really being treated like an inside receiver almost with a lot of these spread systems and some of the things they're doing. So the stuff that was easy for me and the stuff that I worked on, you know, for years and day one, those things become ultimately important for tight ends that come out of the league now. And you see I saw huge drastic steps taken by our set of tight ends at our team, just on working those fundamentals, not being able to kind of do those for the years that they were in college. And you see those big jumps. So I think teams desperately want the all-around complete tight end. And when they come around, you know, you look at a Hockenson. I mean, I think the best clip that we've seen on him in college was when he played Indiana and blocked that guy 10 yards down the field. Jeremiah, that was my game. And the only reason why there was a camera.
Oh, you calling that?
I told the camera guys to put that camera right on him the entire game, because you're going to get some of that. Oh, and then ultimately, when people saw that move, and they're like, wow, that is unbelievable. And I was as excited on TV as if somebody caught a one-handed catch for 50 yards down the field. So it's just an unbelievable accomplishment when you see a guy like that do those things, and he can run routes and stretch the field. Man, you got to swoop those guys up. They're going to be impact players.
Yeah, no doubt. Hard to find those guys. That's actually the clip that I requested when he got picked. That was definitely part of the pack.
I knew you'd like showed. That one.
There was a couple against. It was a couple against Illinois. They were pretty nasty too. I don't know if you called that game as well, but oh
I
my
did not,
gosh!
No.
You talk about being able to finish, dudes. You referenced your time coaching there in the AAF. So having played the position, having coached the position, I'm just curious. Because so many of these guys are detached, so few of these guys actually put their hand on the ground like Hockenson and those guys at Iowa got a chance to do. How different is the game when you're standing up basically functioning as a slot receiver for the first time to have to go in the NFL level against grown men and put your hand on the ground?
Well, you know, from my experience, I wasn't detached too much from West Virginia. I was considered a quote unquote complete tight end. But when I got to the league, I just, the speed of movement from the second and third level players was mind boggling to me. I just remember running some early routes, you know, my first year, and just seeing basically just blurs of color running in front of me. And I really had no concept of my depth of my route. I was just hoping that I was going to get to the point where I needed to be. And then by then, you know, the ball's whizzing in your face. You know, Vinny Testaverde's throwing rockets at you, and you're like, oh, I got to catch the ball now. So there is an element of adjustment for college players. I mean, you know, the guys that can do both. I mean, a guy like O.J. Howard, who came out of college from Alabama, did both of those things, was able to get in line, you know, move, get in the backfield, extend. You know, a lot of guys are extended now and coming out of college. In the pros, I think they're a little more adjusted to that. You know, like an Ingram for the Giants. I mean, a guy that can go out there and kind of utilize his specialty in space. And if you can do both, I'm telling you now, those tight ends will last in the NFL. And if they can stay healthy and learn how to block and institute that in their game, they can extend their career. So, you know, I had my football camp, and Brent Celek was there talking to the kids in Philadelphia. And, you know, he was saying, listen, you know, I wasn't a highly drafted guy. And when I came to the league, I was able to run some routes, catch some balls. But, you know, after year six, seven, I figured out how to block and become a blocker. And that's really what happened to me. I mean, I would have been out of the league in 7 years if I didn't put the work in to become an end line blocker that could dominate an end. And instead of trying to win 25, 30% of the time, maybe 65, 70% of the time is the clip that you're able to have. And that is huge when you're talking about being able to get a guy like Mawai in space and go block Zach Thomas without being, you know, nicked on the shoulder by the defensive end or anything like that, or getting the fullback in that alley position to get the safety when it's free and clear. So, you know, to me, if you want to extend your career as a tight end, learn how to block, you're guaranteed double digits if you stay healthy.
All right, last question from me. If we're tasked with evaluating this position and you get to get your hands on a kid, you get to work out with them, and maybe you can put them through one or two drills. In your opinion, what are the one or two drills that are the best evaluation tools for us?
Well, you know, for me, I always want to see what kind of hip strength they have. You know, I want to see how they explode out of their hips. It was interesting. I was over at the XFL Tampa Bay combine yesterday, and they have these X factor drills that they were doing along with the normal combine stuff that we've seen for years. And they actually did almost like a triple long jump kind of thing. And it kind of showed you the depth of their pull, how high they're able to get their knees up, and then kind of explosion out, you know, from distance. And I thought that showed a lot for offensive linemen and tight end. Now, when I'm on the field and I'm coaching a guy, no matter what we do, every single day we start our all fours on the ground, and we're constantly launching up into about a 45 angle through a bag with a guy leaning on it and shooting our hips through the bag down into the ground. And always have your hips always have to hit the ground first, and almost like a pendulum like this. So when you're in your stance and you come out and shoot out, you should be able to roll your hips in the middle point there onto the ground. To me, that they got to feel that. They got to understand where the power comes from. The next thing is, you know, when you engage in contact for really any offensive lineman or tight end, you know, where does your power come from? No one, a lot of guys don't know that. They just assume, you know, you shoot your hands on them and bam. You've got to get your second step on the ground and time that up with your hand placement on a defender. Now, if tight ends can utilize that with the snap count and get off with speed when you're blocking a 300-pounder, which you're normally not going to be able to block and win most of the time, those three things right there, if you can put those things together, two steps on the ground, get your hands on a guy on the second step and shoot your hips and do that right at the snap count, you're going to at least get a stalemate, right? Because you can get yourself in a position to win. Yep. You're going to have leverage on your defender. And most of the time, you should be able to get a little push. And, you know, it works. I mean, but they got to build habits. There's a lot of bad habits going on right now. Mm-hmm. And that just comes with time. More importantly, they don't have enough time to teach. You know, when I was playing in the NFL before the new CBA, and I have 1 year with the new CBA, is you're allowed to stay after practice. I work with the coach, and I would do some extra things. Heck, they got another camera watching you now, and you got to get off the field, and you can only be on there in a certain amount of time. And that, as you well know, you know, the young players struggle with that, and that's a problem. So, you know, those guys got to learn how to do some things on their own and get that work in the offseason. You know, having that extra month to start instead of mid-March, now mid-April, utilizing your time in the offseason as a young player, you've got to make huge strides in your game when you're not at the football facility. And I think sometimes it's very easy for guys to maybe go do these workouts with these secondary assisted type lifts, these jumping things, and not really do true technique driven drills to help you get better. And sometimes they're a little unorthodox stuff that you have to do, but those are the things. Like, how can you manufacture strength, power, explosion in those simple movements to make yourself a better tight end? And those are the things I try to mold my whole regime around. And I'm just, you know, young in this thing, how to teach it. I know how to do it, but to teach it and get somebody else to do it and see them do it, that's kind of the key. And that, those are kind of the core things that I try to start with every day, at least when I was with the team with the AAF.
Well, that's phenomenal. You've played the position. You've coached the position. You're really working with a lot of these young guys as they're coming through. Really, really appreciate your time today, Anthony. Got a bunch of notes taken down here. We're going to get better at evaluating this tight end position. Thank you, man.
Well, you know, Daniel, I also got the coach, and I also got the experience to get fired. So I've been fired on all levels across the board, let go of some of my positions. So it's come full circle for me for sure.
Well, look, hey, raise your hand if you've been fired before. I got mine now.
No doubt.
We've been there. Thank you, brother. Hit them straight, man.
I appreciate it, man. Great talking to you, man.
All right, Buck. Well, there was a conversation with Anthony Beck, somebody who's spent some time coaching the position. And look, he played a long time, not because of what he does as a receiver, competent receiver, but an outstanding blocker, man. You can play a long time in this league if you can block as a tight end.
You can play a long time because there's value to being able to have an edge blocker, a guy that can really control the line of scrimmage on the edges, dominate those defensive ends, keep those offensive outside linebackers rather at bay, and allow you to get around the corner. And so when you find a good tight end that can block, because there's so few that can, man, you talk about being able to carve out a little niche that allows you to be a 10, 11-year veteran player like Anthony Beck was able to carve out.
All right, let's get to it now. We're getting toward the end of the podcast here, and this is in every single one of our episodes, whether we're talking quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, offensive line. At this point in time, we like to say who we believe is the prototype at the position. I've got a feeling that since Rob Gronkowski has moved on, there's a chance we might be sitting on the same name here, but who do you like?
Well, I think the top tight end in the game right now would be a guy like a Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce is so special because he has the athleticism and the versatility of a wide receiver in space. He's a guy who can run all the routes on the route tree, but he also is capable of running bubble screens and some of the fancy routes that are normally not reserved for tight ends, and he's able to consistently put the ball in the paint. I believe he is now the new prototype at the position because he is that mismatch weapon. He is the guy that you can put anywhere in the formation, and you have to kind of trick up your coverage to make sure that you're accounting for him. He's a guy that I think you look to, if you're talking about the mold, he is the mold of the new tight end in the National Football League.
And I think if we're looking, and I agree with you, I think he is kind of the standard right now. If you're looking at just pure route runners at the position, I think Zach Ertz is
that's
in that
the next
discussion.
Guy that I had in mind. Zach
especially
Zach
flex
Ertz.
Him out and let him set people up, and he's outstanding at the top of his route.
Zach Ertz is outstanding because he is a big jumbo wide receiver. He's a guy that is able to kind of create opportunities in the passing game because he can win outside against nickels and safeties and make plays. I think another guy is funny because this guy was a first-round pick. Didn't really do anything his first up in Detroit, but he goes to Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah,
Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
And the way that Frank Reich has been able to kind of unlock him. Frank Reich's experience with Zach Ertz gave him a blueprint for how to utilize Eric Ebron, and we saw him respond with a Pro Bowl year. He is a guy that also could be considered one of those new prototypes at a position.
I think you got to also mention George Kittle, who's coming off of a big
man,
year.
Coming off of a huge
again, somebody that really helped you in the run game as well as what he does in the passing game. So those are some of the prototypes we're looking at the position. This has been a fun series, Buck. This is going to wrap up our offensive side. We're going to get to the defensive side. We've got coming up edge rushers as well as corners, which you're going to want to stick around and listen to those episodes as they drop. But, man, this has been a fun series. Again, I feel like we learned something in every one of these episodes.
Oh, we absolutely have learned something. Like, the insight that we've gained from guys who've either played the position, guys who have coached the position, guys who talk and study the position has been beneficial. I believe it makes us better scouts, and I think it'll make our listeners even better because now they're able to look and see exactly what the gold standard is for those respective positions.
All right, no doubt. That's going to do it for us today. As we continue through this series, it's been really a fun task to kind of take this on and go through the off season as we get ready for the regular season. Hopefully this educates you. You know what to look for when you're looking at these positions. He is Bucky Brooks. I'm Daniel Jeremiah. Thank you so much for listening to the Move the Sticks podcast presented by New Era.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.